Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined by Paula, who is with us this afternoon to talk about her experience of participating in Guidance Days. Welcome, Paula.
Hi, Jen.
Hey. So we thought it would be fun to feature Guidance Days for a couple of reasons. One, we have one coming up on the calendar. I believe it's March 22nd, and the registration just opened for it, so it's the first one of the year. And also because, different from the format from before, the Guidance Days are open to everyone, so not just monthly donors, but anyone who wishes to participate can do that. So we thought it would be nice to have someone on the show and talk about their experience participating. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about how it works and the impact it's had for you and that sort of thing.
Oh, okay. The way it works is that occasionally there are opportunities that are on either the website or I know I've often received an email reminding me that there's an opportunity to register for a guidance session. And I know that there's, in my experience, there's just a few offered throughout the year, maybe three or four at the most. So it's an incredible opportunity, but it's not all, and it's not offered, with great frequency. So
jump,
it's good
to jump into the game, as we're saying this year.
Exactly.
Yeah. So periodically, I'm not sure. I think maybe there are four this year. I can't remember exactly how many, but it's not very often.
Well, there are three. There are three that are currently listed on the website.
Oh,
I just have
right.
to
so
go and check that.
Right. Yeah, there might be only three this year. And so in terms of how it goes, maybe you could say a little bit about that. So you've signed up and you're going to have a guidance appointment, and then on the day of, what happens next?
Right. So there is there's what it is basically is that an opportunity to have an individual session with either one of the monks or one of the senior practitioners in the Sangha, and that for roughly 12 minutes or so, and to really talk about whatever you might be seeing in your practice at that particular time. So for me, it's always been a wonderful opportunity to sort of really hone in on how I'm doing in practice or some practice topic that's up for me at any given time when there's an opportunity for guidance.
Yeah, that is neat about it. And one of the things I often hear, I get to participate in terms of offering some of the guidance appointments. And so often people will talk about how they sign up, and sometimes they sign up because something's really going on and they really want to talk about it, but often just sign up because they have a commitment to practice and along comes this really good practice opportunity, so they sign up. And then how often just something really big or important or something people are struggling with or an opening that they're having comes up right around the time of the appointment, and then they get to have kind of this one-on-one really intensive way of looking at that.
Yeah, I mean, as I was, looking at it today, I really got to see how the moment that I make a commitment to, to sign up for a guidance session, that some process begins immediately, and it may be that, sometimes there's not a particular issue up at a given time, but, as you said, something may drop in or whatever topic I think that I need some guidance around can change over time. But the really interesting piece from my point of view is that there is a process that starts immediately, just like with signing up for guidance, just like there is with making a commitment to any of the other practice opportunities through Sangha. So So it gives it's an immediate opportunity to practice, you know, conscious compassion, awareness with whatever is arising in the moment.
Uh-huh.
And what I notice as well is that often, you know, I have the experience of some clarity or an insight dropping in even before the guidance, the time for the guidance session, or
yeah.
And certainly, you know, I had the experience where that some clarity or insight will drop in either during and sometimes after the guidance session, that I just have something that I, you know, thought that I really needed to be reminded about, or something that I really, it's as though I've made this commitment, which is a real incredible way to support myself in a kind and compassionate way.
Yes.
And then I get to receive this great blessing of individual guidance, and so it's an opportunity to participate, but it's also an opportunity to really take care of oneself and really avail oneself of you know, the opportunities that are available through Sangha. So it's something that I truly treasure and you know, look forward to. And I think that something else I would say about it is that it's one of the greatest things about guidance from someone, from one of the monks or the senior practitioners in Sangha, is that it's an opportunity to really speak with someone who is also, you know, devoted to serving in this way as part of their own practice of waking up and ending suffering. So it's a very, you know, from my point of view, it's a very unique but also a very special way of experiencing the sense that of deep connection with Sangha.
Yes. Boy, you just made so many good points in that. And one of the ones I loved is that it sounds like, from what you're describing, that just in signing up, just that movement, that commitment, that action opens a portal. And that it's not even so much that the person on the other end of the phone is going to give you guidance. He's going to offer you something you don't already have. It's more just a process of really having the gift of being able to work in that one-on-one kind of a way, and an intense kind of way. Sometimes people will bring things to a guidance appointment that they might not talk about, for example, on a radio show where, you know, hundreds of people are listening into it, or even in a retreat setting. It might be something, you know, that feels a little bit more like, you know, it would lend itself to that one-on-one kind of environment. But just that process of it, where each person is participating as their practice, that you as the person signing up is doing that, the facilitator is doing that, and it really is that deep connection with Sangha where we're all just together ending our suffering, not suffering of this one person, though that's a piece of it, but we're ending suffering in a much bigger way. And I think that's such a good point, that the guidance days, the guidance appointments are a really beautiful example of that.
Yeah, that's definitely my experience as well, is that oftentimes, you know, with guidance sessions, as you said, there are certain things or certain, you know, that it's not that it's personal, but it is personalized. So there are certain kinds of processes that, in my experience, it is a greater ease to be able to have that personalized guidance. And And one of the things that I've also noticed is that one of the benefits for me, whether or not there's some, usually what I ultimately end up identifying as some area where that's something I'm seeing in practice that I feel like I would really like some guidance around has something to do with some sense of confusion about knowing that there's that conditioned mind is playing a part in what's going on in my life at a particular time, but really want not perhaps being able to clarify that for myself.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's just so helpful to
yeah.
have someone else to just offer up some reminders or some questions. There's a couple of things that dropped in today that I remembered from past guidance sessions that just have become like almost like a mantra for me. One is a question that I would ask myself when I'm in a particular situation that tends to trigger my karmic conditioning. And so it's just been enormously helpful to have that question that kind of still, it's like a song in my head. I'll remember that question, and it's just very, very helpful.
Yeah.
And so there's also that opportunity where, in my experience, I've really, there's some of the jewels of practice come through in these guidance sessions. So,
hopefully what I project so often happens is then you receive a jewel like that, and then you talk about it on retreat or you mention it in the radio show, and then it becomes part of the conversation of practice we're having in the whole Sangha. So it's like the practice that everyone is doing becomes a part of the whole practice that we're all doing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So just like, as I said earlier, like this is a real gift that I give myself, and I receive this guidance, and it is like a gift that keeps on giving.
Well, if people want to give themselves that gift, the registration is open for March 22nd. So, Paula, I want to thank you so much for being with us this afternoon. It was very generous of you. And
I was just going to say, and really thank you, Jen, too, and deep gratitude to everyone in the Sangha who offers themselves in this service. It's certainly been very helpful and very beneficial for me in my practice.
Yeah, well, and I think your earlier point was a good one, that both people on either side of the phone are offering themselves. So it's really another one of those win-wins, isn't it?
It is. It is.
Well, thanks so much, Paula. Take good care.
Okay, you too. Okay. You're very welcome. Bye-bye now.
Okay, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Paula. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
I'm doing really, really well, thank you. And yourself?
Great. Great.
Good. Good. If it would rain, all of our dreams would come true.
Yes. Yes, we had a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Just enough to keep us dancing.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, we remembered what it looks like, kind of what it feels like. Now we know what we're dancing for. So that's good.
Yes, and we can all work on that. And I know you're organizing a local rain
dance. Uh-huh.
Rain dance. Yes.
Uh huh. Yeah. Yep.
That's sure. Great. I have an announcement here. Unless there's something you'd like to share before we jump into that.
No, I'm eager to hear what's going on.
Okay. There are still spots available for the Zen of Rumi, which is February 25th through 28, a series of daytime workshops devoted to the poet that echoes the deepest longing of our hearts.
And expresses Zen practice so amazingly.
Yes, yes. And there's more information at schedule.livingcompassion.org. Our call-in number today is 888-4-SANGHA. That's 888-472-6442. The show ID is 15406. Then you'd enter your PIN followed by pound. And we encourage folks to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes.
Sure.
Let's get going.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry. Hey, Michael. It's Sri Devi in San Francisco.
Hey, Sri Devi. How you doing?
Hi. Good. How are you?
Excellent. Excellent. Anything new and exciting shaking in practice?
Oh, lots of stuff. Lots of stuff, which is really, really exciting. And I actually called exactly to get some guidance around it. Which is about almost a little less than a year ago. Last summer, I took a week off of work, and I kind of gave myself a privileged environment for a week. There was a retreat, I think, that was happening around that time, and I couldn't go, so I decided to give myself a retreat at home. And this awareness dropped in just as I was walking about silently through my day about deciding to try something different with my life and leaving a job that had been at for about 9 years now. And I kind of sat with that awareness for probably about 3 or 4 months and then finally just accepted life, you know. Life made the decision, and I was my job to kind of respond with an affirmative yes, and have started the process of letting my job know. And just last week, everybody found out. And that all felt fine. And then this Monday, yesterday, I woke up like panic attack. And the voice is kind of going crazy with, what are you doing? Everything's so good. You're just crazy. Why would you do this? And I see all of that, and I'm just breathing through it, but I just realizing, and I knew this was going to happen. I think I'm a little surprised at how much I feel it in my body. You know, I knew the fear would come up, but just kind of like in my body, it feels very nauseous some mornings, very scary, and just like the utter, it's like utter fear every, like, it's, well, not every day, it's been since yesterday, but just utter fear of like, oh my gosh, I have no idea what I'm doing, and this is a little insane.
Yeah. Which, of course, isn't true.
Yeah,
right?
Yes. Yeah,
you do know what you're doing.
Yeah.
So it says those kinds of things. And of course, it can, those kinds of phrases can toss us into a place of just automatically believing that it's true.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm this afraid, you know, I must not know what I'm doing. There must, if there's this much fear, there must be something wrong. There wouldn't be this much fear without something wrong, which of course is just such a big bamboozle that egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate runs, because it is the fear.
Yeah.
It's
It is. And I know it, and I see it. And so when those moments come up, I watch it. Yesterday, I was just watching the fear, and I was like, oh, that's really interesting. And I saw there's someone who said, I should just stay. My job really wants me to stay. They would love it if I stay. They don't want me to go. And I went, wow, that's really interesting. And I just thought about how in my, you know, the decision I made, you know, is about trying something different. It wasn't actually from a place of nothing wrong. Everything's great at my job. There's nothing bad and nothing wrong. It was just one of those moments of, I think I want to try something else. And I purposely set it up so that I had freedom. There wasn't anything super specific, you know, that I was going to absolutely do. I just wanted to be available for life. And that's, of course, what conditioning is using against me, of the, oh my God, you have nothing really concrete set up. You're too open. There's too much unknown. And now it's just, it's all going to blow up. And I see it, and I don't believe it. I think what I Well, there are moments when I jump into believing it, but when I get out of it, I think it's just kind of walking through and being with my body, because the physical, but like I can kind of get away from, let go of the voices in my head. What I'm realizing is a little bit more challenging is the sensation in the body feels very strong, and that is harder to drop.
That's right. And I would say a couple of things about that. One, you're seeing where the karma lives.
Oh,
That's where it lives, right? So we talk about doing body work or doing yoga or taking up running or that sort of thing, because any time we start moving the body in new and different ways, things arise in awareness because that have been held in place through the body being kept in the same configuration, right? So when it begins to move, then all of this stuff arises and we get a chance to see it. Now, of course, karmic conditioning says, oh no, this should not be arising. This is proof that there's something wrong. But of course, we know that that's not true. In our lucid moments, we know that that's not true. So again, karmic conditioning would say that what life is about is you getting a good job and staying with it throughout your life.
Mm.
Now, we also know that even if we're supporters of Eastern philosophy and we suspect there are multiple lifetimes, we're not going to have them. Okay? Somebody will. Somebody will inherit the karma that you brought into this lifetime, just, you know, as somebody left it at your doorstep, right? But there's never going to be another Sri Devi. This is it. This is the only one. And so what karmic conditioning wants us to do is miss our one and only life doing something that gives it complete control over us. So we're taught that the ideal, the ultimate goal of the human being is to stay in the same place, at the same job, doing the same thing until they get old. Yeah, so I mean,
yeah.
You and I know a lot of people who are in jobs and really miserable, but they can't leave them because of the benefits, right? Because of the lack of security, which is just, from my perspective, made up hogwash. Because just every one of those people trapped in those situations, if they knew they were going to be dead in a year, they'd be out of that place so fast. Yeah? They'd be spending the savings and they'd be going on trips and they'd be doing everything that they ever wanted to do because they get it, that I'm not going to be around forever. To me, the fact that you did this is proof of intelligence. Right? You're a smart girl. You can always get a job. Right? You can find somebody to give you a nice, secure job with a big paycheck anytime you're ready to turn your attention to that. In the meantime, you have the opportunity to explore life, and that's what that conditioning is freaking out about. Because if you find out that you can make your own choices, do what your heart leads you to, not do what you want in that sense of, I just do whatever I want, but that you're going to let life lead and you're going to follow your heart and you're going to make the choices that give you the biggest, most expansive, joyful, exciting life that it's possible to have. What is going to happen to that survival system? It's going to cease to exist, and it doesn't want to.
Yeah, no, you're exactly, yeah. And I think what was so helpful is I remember that I was just quiet when this dropped in, and I was paying attention. And I remember the awareness dropped in, and just a whole like, whoa, could I do that? And then I actually put together a plan that said, well, let me see. And I put together the plan, and I said, yeah. So it wasn't, I think to a point you brought up earlier, it wasn't a moment where I said, I'm doing this, and 2 weeks later I quit my job. It was, no, it's very methodical, and I've set up as much as I can to kind of support me in leaving, having this steady, quote, you know, job. And I'm so excited. And it was so just kind of like, and I was waiting for it a little bit. And then it hit this week. And I thought, okay, I'm going to call Sherry because I need this reminder so I can listen to it in the morning when those moments of panic hit me. I'm just going to hit this, you know, radio show and be like, that's what I'm listening to.
Yeah.
Because
and,
it is
know,
really exciting, you know, and I am so excited.
It's really exciting.
Brilliant. Yeah. And I actually have this incredible support system around me of my friends and my family, even my parents, were very skeptical about it. Still going, we wish you the best. And, oh, my God, how exciting for you to go off and to this next journey of your life. Yeah, precisely.
So here's another thing that you might try along with listening to the recordings and making some recordings for yourself.
Yes.
When that kicks in, to just say, you can say it out loud so that everybody knows what you're doing. Say, aha, this is what you feel like when you're dying. This, ego, is what it feels like when you're fighting to control my life. I get it. I want to feel this. I want to feel this so I'm never, ever confused again about what that feels like. Just watch what happens.
Yeah. Wow. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Well, thank you
so
much. Yeah.
Well, you
All
are
right.
so welcome. I'm so happy for you.
Yes, I'm very happy as well. Thank you.
Good. All right. Take care.
All right. I'll talk to you later. Bye, Sherry. Bye, Michael.
Bye, Sridevi. Thanks for joining us, Sridevi. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be back in a minute.
All right.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another call here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry. This is Rico.
Hi.
Hey, Rico. How are you
Hi,
doing?
Hi, guys. I'm doing pretty good. I, you know, the body has its aches and pains, but who cares?
Right. We just pat it and comfort and take care of it a little, and it just, it does its best to keep on going, doesn't it?
Hallelujah. So, Sherry, the last series of sentences you shared with the last caller pretty much sums up what I was going to talk about. This is what the ego feels like, and I never quite saw it in those terms. So it's kind of perfect that the call is coming through now.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, it was about sitting practice, and I've been very, very regular about this for quite a while. And 5 days ago, I have a little timer with a Zen bell on it, which is kind of cool.
Uh-huh.
And I'm probably 20 minutes into my period, and I was overwhelmed with a physical urge to quit. I mean, it's not like I was distracted or there was something going on outdoor my window, but it was almost like a magnetic pull that I could, that was overwhelming. Just said, you know what, just go. Just get off the cushion and do something.
Not anything specific, just something.
No, just, yeah, it was like a pull. I had never felt such a strong pull to just get out of here. Just stop. Do something else.
Mm-hmm. Enough.
And I'm kind of a spontaneous guy, and I usually, you know, I can jump and go do something else without much persuasion needed. And I've been working with the book, your new resistance book, for a while.
Uh-huh.
And it's not like that came into my mind, but I said, you know, we always just jump and we're at the effect of our feelings. So all of a sudden I became very still and I said to myself, let's just check out what resistance really feels like.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of being at the effect of the resistance and being like, what do they call it, a puppet,
uh-huh.
instead of having the knee-jerk reflex and just get kicked around, pushed around, I was really stilled and curious about saying, wow, let's just really, really be quiet. We don't have to go anywhere. Let's check out resistance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what happened?
Well, I don't know. 10 minutes later, the bell went off, and I still didn't want to leave. I didn't have to leave. But I didn't really quite get it until you just concluded your conversation with the first caller.
Aha. Uh-huh.
This is conditioning, and this is how powerful.
Yes.
It wasn't like an idea I had.
Right.
It was such a powerful physical magnetic pull.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, we as conditioned human beings are so accustomed to being controlled by that system that we have no idea that it's going on. It's not like it's something that is being done to me. It's this is just how I am.
Exactly, yep.
And when we begin to take that control away from it, that's when we start seeing just how powerful it is. And blessedly, because we do awareness practice, we get to see that, wow, that's actually not me. That's amazing. That actually has nothing to do with me except I feel it in my body.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was, I mean, it's not like it was lights go off and rainbows appear.
Right.
It was kind of a low-key, and I don't call it a breakthrough, but it was like a deeper comprehension, a deeper understanding. It says, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Conditioning
and
really doesn't give up.
It does not give up. And it's right. It's waiting, right? It kind of has interesting timing. I mean, sometimes its timing is so off that it's ludicrous, but a lot of times its timing is pretty darn good. I mean, you're meant to, at that point in the sit, be enough distracted by whatever that it comes in and does that, and you're off doing whatever before you even realize it happened to you. But
off to the races.
To me, the coolest thing about all of that is that what dropped in was, well, let's see what this is all about.
Yeah, I thought that was, it's kind of like, I heard an old Indian saint say something about, you know, when you're ready to make the U-turn, when you're ready to make it, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
U-turn meaning instead of finding it all out in the external, you start being more interested in how the process unfolds breath by breath.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly so. Yeah. And then there's that opening and the insight just drops in and we're changed. we're changed. Because what a powerful thing to know that we can sit still and breathe and be with anything.
So one of the other aspects that's becoming more apparent of the old habits is it's kind of like B plus is good enough. You know, like, because like, to get A's, the difference between a B plus, well, for myself anyway, A's took a heck of a lot more work than just to coast and get a B plus.
Uh-huh.
And so that's been somewhat of a default, and I didn't quite get it before, like, but now I'm just saying, oh, that's one of the ploys, that's one of the tricks that conditioning, what do we call it, the stupid dust?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'm doing these projects to raise money for Roots in Africa.
Uh-huh.
We talked about that. And I've succeeded in a couple of these. And there are a couple of, there are two specific drawbacks to the design of this very specific design that I'm building.
Mm-hmm.
And I came across a man in Maine who had solved it. So I had hours of conversation with him, and I just purchased the materials, which are quite costly, and this coming weekend I plan to start applying it.
Mm-hmm.
But the deal is, why I mention it is, oftentimes I hear you speak of learning to love to learn,
mm-hmm.
and it would be fine to just continuing to produce the projects as I have been. But when I am exposed to a way to really improve it significantly, and it's what we call a steep learning curve, all new materials I've never seen before or used before, and I just find that I'm more interested in, I don't know how you say, I've heard you use the word like getting out of the comfort zone maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, and when you said that earlier, in fact, what dropped in for me was I want to get whatever grade I get as a result of having enjoyed learning the material. Mm. Which I realize is not a part of our education system. But I still think it's a good idea.
Well,
so if,
yeah.
If it's a C and I come out of that knowing the material, having really taken it for myself and enjoyed every step of that, then that C is my A.
That's it. But this really segues into the idea that conditioning never gives up. And for example, we finish high school and we say, well, for a lot of people, we go to work, and then some people go to college, and some people go to graduate school, and some people take continuing ed seminars. But there's a certain part of the mind, mostly most mind, my mind anyway, that says, you know, whew, man, I graduated, I have the graduate degree, whew, I can just coast.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've noticed is that that reflects a certain kind of posture that I've had in regards to the voices. Well, you know, I've got that down. You know, I understand the voice thing, and I see it, and I talk to it all the time, and I hear the recording and listening. But it's almost as if that idea about graduating and getting to coast is the way conditioning uses to get you back asleep.
Exactly, exactly. That's it. Now you can go to sleep. That's what it says. I mean, but that's what it means. Now you don't have to attend to life. Now you don't have to be present. Now you don't have to be alive. Now you've arrived, and now you can go to sleep. And we fall for it. So sad.
And I mean, it's not falling asleep per se, because there's still a vigilance. It's a constant vigilance for scanning the voices. But there's a bit of relaxation because, you know, I've got this down.
Mm-hmm.
I really get it. And bam.
I don't have to participate.
Yeah,
I can sit on the sidelines and watch life go by.
Right.
As if that's more fun.
Well, Sherry, it's been great. And I have to tell you, my favorite poet in the world is Rumi. So I'll be seeing you soon, I bet.
Huh?
I'll be seeing you soon.
Oh, very, very fun. Very fun. Excellent. Good.
Well, Lord willing and the creek don't rise.
Yeah, I know that one. I know that one.
All right.
Thanks, Rico.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Sherry.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Rico. You're listening to Open Air, and we have more callers here, Sherry.
Perfect.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Christine.
Hi.
Hello, Christine.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm in Oregon.
Uh-huh. And are you getting any rain in Oregon?
Yes. Yep.
Would you send some our way, please?
I would love to.
Okay, good. I know. That's so funny. I have to tell you, I was looking at this morning. I was actually recording about it, but there's a story about Maharishi Mahesh Yogi that they had some project that they wanted to do. And the people around him said, well, you know, that's going to be a lot of money. Where's the money going to come from? And he said, well, wherever it is now. And so I was looking at that with rain, and I thought, well, now that could apply. You know, there are all these places where they're getting too much rain, and so there it is there. We need it here, so we just move it over. Yeah.
I've thought of it that way, too, and I'm not, yeah, it hasn't come to me how it would easily get there, but it would be nice.
Well, I figure if he got the money to move, we could get rain to do the same thing. Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Well, what's going on with you?
So the same thing that the first caller talked about happened to me. So I came across the country to Oregon, and it's been great. And then I think what happened was there was a part of me who started missing where I came from, and then just as soon as that happened, I was attacked by that I'm supposed to go back. I did the wrong thing.
Right.
I'm supposed to go back and look how cool that place is that I left, and you left your sitting group and you left all your friends and look at, you know, it had a whole bunch of reasons that I, you know,
and,
why
and
did I
because,
leave?
Because, Christine, it so wanted you to sit, right? It was so concerned about being sure that you got to your sitting group, wasn't it? But now that it can go on a list of things that it can use against you, well, that's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, so it was, so I was looking at all sorts of things, and I was kind of like looking at why is this, you know, why is it attacking me with this, and why am I buying it? And then today I finally thought, I'm going to email this friend of mine and tell her that this is happening. And she emailed back, and I just, it was like it was taken care of. It's so odd how that can happen. And now I'm not suffering over it anymore. It was so...
You wrote it all out, everything that was going on, and you sent that to your friend, and your friend wrote back, and then it was finished.
Yeah, it was like, yeah. And I've been working through it with recording and listening But, yeah, it's like, well, where did it go? It's not, I guess I got, again, in my heart or in my, it feels like in my body that it's okay. Like, actually being here, I don't have to go back, no matter how cool or how good it was or et cetera. Yeah, I guess because
you know, don't you? You know that as soon as you go back,
yeah,
it's going to start in about, I can't believe you did this. You left, blah, 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 blah.
Wasted a year, and what'd you do? And then you came back. And
money?
Yeah.
And for what? What were you doing?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's really interesting how somehow it went away. What it was getting me with is,
It does. If we, you know, because we're so involved in whatever is going on in our lives currently, we don't really have the perspective required unless people journal and then they have the perspective required to accomplish this. We don't see how consistently we're in these places, right? So it's always after us about something.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or waiting to be after us about something. Because, I mean, there are times when there just kind of isn't anything. Right?
Yeah.
It's just life is fine and it's good. Or it's like you've made this move and it's new and it's really exciting. And it's, well, that would be a really bad time to say you shouldn't have come here because you're not going to believe it. But then your energy gets to a certain point. And, you know, it's the excitement is kind of worn off, and now you're into real life. And so, good, you're vulnerable to that. Let's hit her with that one. And then you work on it, 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 and pretty soon it loses its oomph, and it kind of goes dormant, and then it's waiting, and then there'll be the next thing. And we're always following that kind of cycle.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy how I can believe it. And, you know, while I was believing it, I was looking at it. I knew that it felt like my ego was believing it, that it had a lot to do with ego. I don't really know what else to say about that, but
yes,
it kind of did.
Oh, yeah, because that's what's doing it. So that's what's talking, and that's what's listening, right? So it's that when we use that image of the tennis match, you know, here's ego saying this, and here's ego listening over on the other side of the net, and then it lobs, well, what about this? And then, okay, well, but that's this. And, yeah, but what about? And so the conversation goes on until it finally begins to rev up. You know, now you're really watching the match. Right? So it's going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and you've really bought into it, and you're just there on the edge of your seat, and you're hooked.
Yeah.
And then, of course, what it's going to always come down to is what you've done wrong. What's wrong?
Yeah.
And then what you've done wrong, because whatever wrong there is, of course, is your fault. And again, in that system, we're not disidentified. We're not stepped back enough to realize, well, actually, there's nothing wrong. The assumption, once we buy into it, the assumption that that's true is so deep.
Mm-hmm.
All you did was move across country.
Yeah.
That's all. That's all that happened.
And I didn't have a job, and, you know, blah, 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 stuff that ego didn't like.
Well, that's the thing, though. This is coming up in the email class a lot, okay? It does like it. It does like
it. Oh, that's causing some more fun drama for it.
That's exactly right. Because as long as somebody is doing everything right, it's harder. It's harder for that system to really get any good juice going, right? So with a situation like that, you know, I don't know what, you know, where you were when you were on the other coast, but I mean, I know where you were physically, but you know what I mean. But there was something that it talked you into being dissatisfied about there that was going to be better when you came here.
Mm-hmm.
So it builds that dissatisfaction, builds it, builds it, builds it, builds it. Then you do what it's leading you to do. Now the setup is there. Now it's wrong what you've done. And mm-hmm. away we go.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but it didn't feel like I was just reacting to ego. It felt more, yeah, I felt more pushed out, like it's time. It's time to go.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it felt
Well, you could even be following your heart.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's not a problem. Like Sri Devi, you know,
it
certainly had all the earmarks is such an unfortunate expression. It had all of the quality of following your heart. But that's
mm-hmm.
okay, because as soon as you step outside the door, it's right there ready to slam you with, but it's the wrong thing to do because of this and this and this and this and this and this.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah, it's funny. I guess I have a belief that when I follow my heart, that stuff, I mean, that's a crazy belief, that stuff wouldn't happen, because I'm, it's like I'm protected. If I'm following my heart and life is on my side, then I'm supposed to be protected from feeling like I'm being told that I'm doing it wrong.
Yep.
But that,
and of
but
course,
that doesn't,
that,
yeah.
Not
ego
true,
is still
is
there.
It?
No.
That's right.
Yeah, it's still there.
Yeah, the fact that you're a good person doesn't mean nobody's going to mug you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That, again, that's the kind of thing that it would set up, right?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of belief system, because then if it comes after you, well, you must not have been following your heart. Now, the person who buys into that, it's like, oh, my gosh, what do I trust? What do I listen to? How do I make a decision? I mean, I thought I was really following my heart, but I must have done the wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So, the short way out of all of this, of course, is to realize there isn't anything wrong. We can't make a mistake. And there is no better place to be than here, wherever here is. There's nothing better to be doing than this. And all the rest of it is crapola.
Yeah. Yes, okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Don't let him beat you up.
I know. Okay, thank you.
You're
welcome,
Christine. Take care.
Okay, thanks a lot. You too.
Uh-huh. All right. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Christine. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, I loved that line. All the rest of it is crapola.
Right. It's a T-shirt, wouldn't it? It could go under our This Here Now T-shirts, right? This Here Now. All the rest is crapola. Oh,
that
dear.
Is great. And I'm sure there are T-shirt designers listening to this show. So
that's right. Or I might just get out my magic marker and go ahead and do it for myself.
Yes, great. Let's hear from our coaches program, and then we'll be right back.
Okay.
The year of deepening practice has produced a new support opportunity for people of all levels of practice. A team of Zen awareness coaches guided by Sherry Huber, who offer individual coaching to support awareness practice. This coaching program is designed to help strengthen the inner voice of self-compassion and peace, and places a special emphasis on recording and listening. Whether you're brand new or a long-timer, awareness coaching can be the extra support your heart desires. As the Buddha said, we must each work out our own salvation diligently. Zen awareness coaches can assist you wherever you are in your practice. For more information, visit sanghamarket.com. Look for the Little Zen Monk under the Services section. These services are offered with loving kindness to support those wishing to deepen their practice.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have more callers here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Could you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry. This is Beth.
Hey, Beth. How are you?
How many years have I been calling in, and it's still you are unmuted to send me into terror.
Imagine how I feel. Oh, that was the point, was it?
Well, not that there is one. A point.
Right. I was right there with you. So what's going on now that you're getting over your shock?
Okay. Well, I'm using everything in my experience to see how I cause myself to suffer so I can drop that. And I
had
a real doozy over the weekend, and, you know, it just took me all weekend of just what is it? This morning I kind of broke through into this space of kind of seeing the immensity of, you know, like the entirety of the past and how it doesn't mean anything against this one moment. And it was just like this really expansive feeling. And then in listening to this radio show, I got to tell you, I can come up with 17 things off the top of my head that are wrong.
They're wrong?
They're just all this stuff that's wrong.
Uh-huh.
It is not as it should be. It shouldn't have to be this hard. So within the course of just like the same day, both are true.
That's not true.
Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But to my experience, it's like I'm remembering kind of that sense of expansion that I had for 10 minutes.
10 minutes can be a long time, though, can't it?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Just so much energy to get it all done versus, you know, it's wrong. Everything's wrong. It's not as it should be.
So it's kind of what you're describing is being in the dark room.
Yeah.
Right? Which is an endless list of what's wrong. And then being catapulted into the super light room.
Yeah.
Where not only is nothing wrong, but nothing is really not wrong.
No, and it's curious. It's wonderment and gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
But and then moving on to the next thing, and then moving on to the next thing, and by the end of the day, you know, I turned around and I dropped a basket, and everything just went over the floor that I just had cleaned, and it's all my fault. And if I were a more careful person, that wouldn't have happened. And I buy it.
Right. Instead of the, if there were anything wrong, we could narrow it down to that, right? That voice, that program, that system that's always pointing the finger at what's wrong and it always comes back to you. Right?
Yes.
There's all this stuff that's wrong. Right. There's all this stuff that's wrong, and it's your fault.
Yes.
Now, when we're terribly expansive in the light room, we say, and that even that isn't wrong. But it, you know.
No, because of, you know, just the enormity of the now.
Mm.
It's just, you know, it's as big as the past and future combined.
Uh-huh. And more.
And more.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was a big 10 minutes, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, and then I had to go back to minding my own business and making money and making sure that I got everybody else taken care of so that I'd be safe.
Uh-huh. But in that 10 minutes, everybody was fine, weren't they?
There was no self and other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just, you know, we're all doing the best we can. We just don't know it.
Right. Exactly. What a powerful awareness, huh? If there were a prayer, you know, one of those, may all beings be happy, may all beings end suffering, may all beings find peace, may all beings know that they are doing the best they can. What a difference that would make. And in that Zen paradoxical way, how much better we would do knowing that.
It's a lot more fun.
It's what?
It's a lot more fun.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
More relaxing.
And it seems like I sell my soul for the right to blame somebody else.
Hmm. Oh, wow. That's sobering, isn't it?
And I
think you're right. And God knows you're not alone, right? I mean, I think
no,
that's
I'm not
a,
alone.
Yeah, that's a pretty universal process, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In fact,
yeah.
We sell our soul so often for so little, right?
Yeah, like a cookie.
Yeah. Mhm. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So, thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Do the best I can.
Yeah, yeah. Having some, we could say, miraculous moments.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a sense of not wanting to touch it too much.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, well, that's probably wise, actually, but
there's a sense of, like, I'm like putting lightning bugs in a jar.
Uh-huh.
So as soon as I put it, you know, kind of like I've got it. I got that idea. I understand that, you know, then I don't have it.
That's right. And you can hold it. Let's see. What's an image? You can hold it as a transformation without putting anything on it. So it's like you know it happened. You know that. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to talk, except with me, of course, you have to talk about it. But you don't have to go back there and visit it and try to make it real in this moment, but you know it happened. So to me, the first thing is to be intensely grateful that it happened. And then the second, to be really, really open and honest about the level of willingness that you have for something very like that to happen again.
Yeah.
So we don't want to cling to it, but we also don't want to push it away, right? So I want to. I'm right here with my hands open. If anybody wants to give me anything, here I am.
Huh.
Glad for everything I've received. Really, really open to more. Thank you. If I don't get any more, that's okay too, because I've already had so much. I'm not going to tell you I'm not interested in more, because I am.
Yes. Meister Eckhart, to everything that has been, thank you.
Yes.
To everything that's to come, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Hmm? Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And that moment of clarity puts all that together, doesn't it? Everything that's gone before makes absolute sense, and we can be we're so grateful for it. And everything that's ahead, we know it's going to be more of the same. We can be grateful for that, too.
Nowhere to go, nothing to do.
Right. Yep, just twinkle.
And I kind of want to respect that you still have time to talk to somebody else.
Right. Thank you, my dear.
Thank you.
Fabulous hearing from you.
Again and yet again.
All right. Good night, Beth.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. Sherry, we have about 5 minutes left. Would you like to talk another caller?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Please.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry, Michael. It's Ashwini.
Hi.
Hey, Ashwini. What are you up to?
You want me to get off so someone else could chat, or shall I talk to you for 5 minutes?
You talk to us.
Okay. Well, I've been really sitting with a question I think posed in the email class this time about what it means to do spiritual practice.
Uh-huh.
And I can't say I have any clarity about it, but it's just been, and of course I had one of those amazing experiences that I have sometimes where the question is out there and then I pick something up and it answers the question for me in some way.
Yeah, or at least speaks to it.
Or suggests a way to look. And I happened to open up the peace quote. And it's a saying that spirituality perhaps is just the, I'm going to butcher the quote, but something to the effect of being with the fact that individual and wholeness are completely interconnected in every moment. And it's just that the encouragement to look at the beliefs around what it means to practice was just such a powerful encouragement for me.
Because you found some, I'm guessing.
Yes. I've never actually looked at it before.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there was a response from the heart to this practice, and saying yes to life in whenever the opportunity arose to say yes, and then just it's almost like somebody put the brakes on and go, wait a minute,
what are you doing?
What are you doing? Yeah, and not in a way that you're not doing it the right way or there's something differently that you must be doing, but it seems like one of those questions that you keep peeling the onion back from where there's a deeper and deeper understanding of the nature of the journey.
Uh-huh.
Right, it's not, am I doing spiritual practice or am I not doing spiritual practice or does spiritual practice have to look a particular way? Just simply that the startling question shook me out of maybe an assumption of what it meant to looking to see whether or not I had any assumptions.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just astonished by the level of jitter in the system because question was asked.
Yes. Yes, I think what you're really exploring is that level of assumption, the level of ignoring, the level of not questioning that goes on under which or behind which egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate lives.
Yes, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, that that's what dropped in, that it, in some senses what you're saying is it is what we're going up against, if you will, within quotes, in spiritual practice, and it is the veil.
Yes. Exactly. And we're not meant even to know that there's a veil there.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, the fascinating part of it is to kind of go along with that. We're all doing the best we can do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are, and Rico's magnetic pull, but in a different
mm-hmm.
direction, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we are being drawn. It's the old standard image. We are being called home. We're being drawn in that direction. And we're going. And if somebody said, do you know that you're going? We could say, well, yeah. But what does that really mean? We're meant never to question it. Because then, if we don't question it, we don't see the veil, right? And we don't ever get clear about what's at stake and what the commitment means. And we don't ever ask ourselves, what am I willing to do in order to get home?
Yes.
Do I want to be home? What is home? What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
We're being drawn there, and at a certain point, it begins to dawn on us that, yes, we're being drawn there, but we're the ones who have to make the journey. And that journey requires effort on our part.
And truly, the effort is asking that question. Because somehow or the other, you know, it's like if someone, and I have this conversation sometimes with my parents, ask me, are you committed to what you're doing? And I would say, absolutely. Then if the next question is, what are you doing? There's a very superficial, a certain superficial answer that comes out, which is not examined. It is something that was arrived at one point of awareness, and the fact that there is no questioning of that in the immediacy of this moment makes it the same process that would let me sleep for the rest of my life.
Yes. Yes, exactly so. And I think also what you're pointing at is that for many of us, the kind of person who is drawn to awareness practice, we can be drawn to awareness practice without ever, it's hard to describe, but without ever really bringing too much awareness to the process.
Yes, yes. So it would seem to me like somebody, you know, the analogy that occurs to me is that a scientist who's working on the nuclear bomb because he's interested in working on the bomb, not without any idea of what the impact might be of the technology that he produces.
Yes.
Right? And so that...
Having no idea what's at stake.
Having absolutely no idea what's at stake. And it could look like, I mean, at least in practice, it can look like a huge deal of commitment and a huge deal of sincerity and a huge deal of willingness, and all of the actions seem to point to somebody that is practicing earnestly, but it's the question of, are you sitting because you're going to awaken? Mm-hmm. And it's just such an interesting, I guess, stake to encounter and just go, wow. Anyway, that's what I was sitting with.
Yeah, well, I was saying this somewhere quite recently, as recently as today, I think, and I go there often, that supposedly over the gates of Japanese Zen monasteries, it says, if you do not understand that this is a matter of life and death, don't enter here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it speaks so much to that sleepwalking through life.
Yeah.
It's a matter of life and death. Are you really alive now?
Yes.
Because that's what's actually at stake.
Well, and to me, it's also at some place, because the grooves of practice become so familiar, you sleepwalk through your awareness practice, right? It's not really awareness practice. It's it's an idea of awareness practice, and it's just so... It's so marvelous to be given the opportunity to look at it and go, well, what? Well, is it? Am I alive in the moment or not? And the other thing that dropped in when you said those words above the monastery is, you know, the conditioned assumption is, I know the answer to the question and I walk through the gate. But the journey doesn't stop when I walk through the gate, because as soon as I walk through the gate, there's another gate that's asking me the same question. So
yes,
the fact that it's an ossified question isn't true, because the journey produces that question over and over and over again at various junctures of the process.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is a process. In answering that question, I am going deeper and deeper into the journey.
Yes. Yes. Yep. Very good. Well, I know we're out of time, or we could just talk about this for the rest of the evening, but thank you
well,
for that.
Well, thank you for, you know, indulging it.
Well, it was a pleasure.
Thanks, Sherry.
All right. Thanks, Ashwini.
Thanks for joining us, Ashwini. That was a big conversation, Sherry.
We've had at several of those this evening, haven't we?
Yes, we are very blessed, as we all
people are doing
say.
Some deep practice.
No doubt.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
very grateful.
Mm-hmm. Me too, Michael.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll talk to you on Tuesday. Talk to another whole group of people on Thursday, but I'll talk to you on Tuesday. How about that?
And maybe Thursday too. Who knows?
Maybe Thursday too. We don't know. Could happen that way. All right.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thanks so much, Michael. Good night.
Okay. Good night.